morning.
Good afternoon and good evening to all of our listeners all over the world. I'm Barry Muller, your host of the Revamp Podcast. Today, I'm honored to have Anya Chirchirsky on our podcast. She is a rock star that I've been following for some time on LinkedIn, and she has a suite of blogs, including the CRM and ERP software blog. Maybe you're familiar with her if you're in the Microsoft Dynamics world, because a lot of these blog posts focus around that. Anya, tell us a little bit more about yourself and about, before the podcast started, you're telling me even about where you started and where you were working 20 years ago. We can go that far back even now. So tell me and the audience about a bit more about yourself, Anya. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you, Barry. So I have actually shockingly been working in the Microsoft Dynamics channel since 1999. That was actually the years two before Microsoft purchased a little company called Great Plains, which is what I've spent most of my career marketing, now known as Microsoft Dynamics GP. And so I've worked for several Microsoft Dynamics VARs or reselling partners since 1999, really focusing on, you know, how can we attract Microsoft Dynamics prospects? How can we make the message to them clear? And, you know, seen a lot of changes in Microsoft and in the community throughout those decades. But I think what people know me most for now is that back in 2009, I started a project called the ERP Software Blog. And at the time, it was something very new. You know, blogging was relatively new. I came back from a Microsoft event and told my search engine optimization consultant, I said, Microsoft says we have to have a blog. I don't even really know what that is. And he said, well, it might be good for your ego, but as a small company, it's not going to give you any leads. But if you knew a lot of partners that could contribute content and links, that could be a powerful blog. So he and I started this idea, just never realizing how large it would get. But wonderfully, you know, now in 2022, we've been doing these group blogs for all those years. We have three now, the ERP software blog for Microsoft Dynamics ERP partners, VARs and ISVs, the CRM software blog, which is again only Microsoft Dynamics 365, their CRM product, and then the ERP cloud blog, which opens that kind of group blogging platform to other ERP products like Acumatica, Oracle NetSuite, Sage, people like that. So we've been amazed at how much it's grown, and it's really a kind of a cool community that we've been able to build over the last many years.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm part of that community for listeners, disclosure. And we're a big fan of it. And so, yeah, it's a really amazing story. I love kind of like the stories where, oh, we just started this as a side project, and then it grew and grew, and then it continues to grow. That's amazing. For our listeners, there's a few things I want to cover just based off that. The ideas are running in my head. So one thing that I would be specifically interested in is maybe you could talk to us about Microsoft CRM, Microsoft Dynamics CRM, because, for example, I think this is relevant for anyone listening that is maybe interested in Microsoft Dynamics and also enjoys like tech history. But today, if you Google Microsoft Dynamics CRM, it doesn't seem like it's a product, mm-hmm. But then people still call it Microsoft Dynamics CRM. So maybe you could tell me, I'm not sure how long the CRM blog was up for, but maybe you could tell our listeners some history behind, I guess, the branding, if you will, the marketing behind Microsoft Dynamics CRM.
You know, I will say it has been a marketer's nightmare with the amount of times that Microsoft has changed the name, especially of that product. Most of their products have gone through a lot of rebranding in the last, gosh, it's probably been at least 5 or 6 years or more. But the CRM suite specifically. So Microsoft Dynamics CRM may even have had a different name way back in the beginning, but it evolved, and then they took away that CRM designation, which is really too bad because most people, like you said, they still use it. That's what most of the search rankings and search engines, you know, keywords are that us marketers use. But instead, they made Microsoft Dynamics 365 like this suite. And then within Microsoft Dynamics 365, you can get the sales application, the marketing application, customer service application, and each of those are a different price. So I think the idea is that you can mix and match within that Dynamics 365 platform for exactly what you need. On the financial side, it gets really complicated as well because they have actually two different, very, very different ERP products that are both called Microsoft Dynamics 365. So Microsoft Dynamics 365 Finance was called Finance and Operations. I think it's just called Finance now. So that's Finance, Supply Chain. That used to be Microsoft Dynamics AX, which is the largest ERP product that Microsoft Dynamics has, really meant for large multinational, multi-currency type companies. And then Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central is what used to be the old Microsoft Dynamics Nav or Navision. And that is really a very highly customizable mid-market solid financial package. And there is a CRM piece included in that Business Central, but it's really meant for kind of basic contact management, keeping track of your tasks. But if somebody wanted like the full-blown CRM capabilities, they would move up to that Microsoft Dynamics 365 sales, marketing, customer service, professional services as well. I think there's a few other apps in there. There are some integration points between the Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central and Finance and that CRM piece, but it really would require a customization and tweaking to really, if you really wanted to integrate and connect those. It's, although they all have the same name, they're actually not just one product. So I can see how it would get very confusing for the prospect, but that's why it's so important to, you know, be in touch with a partner that you trust that can really give you the full picture of what is this Microsoft Dynamics 365? What are the options? What are the different costs? Things like that. There's some companies that are doing some really cool things even with Power Platform. So they have actually taken Microsoft Power Platform and almost recreated Microsoft Dynamics CRM, if you want to call it that. And it's kind of a scaled down version of that full-blown CRM. So that's a really, really cool option as well. It looks and feels just like Dynamics 365 CRM applications, but it's built in Power Platform, which is what the other, you know, the full CRM is built in as well. So people are very creative these days with Power Platform, which is fun to see.
Wow. Okay. So this is a great podcast for anyone that ever wanted to understand anything about Microsoft, because the changes are confusing. So let me do a few follow-ups on that piece. One, if a sales team needs a CRM, so then they would do 365 for sales, or could they use the 365 for marketing? And would there be a CRM there, or that wouldn't be, it would be unrelated, like it wouldn't be usable for a sales team?
So they would want to get the sales piece. That's, from what I understand, really kind of the core, the base CRM. And then if you have the marketing would be more more advanced. So as well as the customer service, if you have a call center, if you have things like that. But really the core sales team would use that Microsoft Dynamics 365 sales.
Got it. So for our listeners, so HubSpot, it kind of reminded me of the HubSpot. I don't know how familiar you are with HubSpot, Anya, but they have the HubSpot, I guess, platform. Mm-hmm. And for free, they give the CRM. That's kind of like their product-led growth motion, or their business model is that they get people in for free and then they expand, and then they have the marketing platform and the sales platform, and also I think customer success. But the CRM is separate. It's like the free product and then there's things over it, versus Microsoft. It sounds like in order for the CRM, you'd either have to have Business Central or pay for 365 for sales. Is that correct assessment?
That would be my possibly unprofessional opinion. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the reason people like to go with the Microsoft Dynamics, the CRM tools, right, mm-hmm. is because they have that familiar look and feel with Microsoft products, the really close integration with Office. You know, being able to work in Outlook is huge for salespeople. And there's that kind of native Outlook integration with because it's a Microsoft product. So that would probably be one difference versus using something like HubSpot with a built-in CRM. There are also, of course, so many add-on, and they call them ISV, integrated software vendor, or third-party tools that you can add on to any of the Microsoft Dynamics products. So, for example, on our group blog, we'll list out separately reselling partners and partners that have add-on products that really enhance all of the Dynamics tools. And on the CRM side, there's quite a few for, say, marketing automation. You might choose, hey, I want to use another company for marketing automation that is integrated in with Microsoft Dynamics 365, maybe even versus going for the Microsoft Dynamics 365 marketing app. It really just depends on your team's requirements. And I think that's why it's a great idea, again, to research and work with a partner that's going to give you the right advice, because you don't want to go out and buy Microsoft Dynamics 365 marketing if it actually ends up that an add-on tool with the core sales app is going to work better for you, perhaps be a lower total ownership cost and things like that. So, you know, that's one reason why I, of course, I'm biased towards blog posts, right? But I think, you know, educating yourself by seeing what is a company writing about. Does it sound like they really know what they're talking about? Have they published articles and content around this marketing piece, if that's the most important to me, so that I can tell that they're not just going to be reading off a script or looking at the price list to try to sell me something, but I can tell they've done this before. Do they have case studies, things like that, that are in my industry, so that they can really kind of piece together the right CRM system for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I heard an interesting stat recently. I don't know if it's a true stat. It might have just been there, like what they said. But they said that like 90% of companies that use Dynamics are with a partner, which in Salesforce, a lot of companies have a CRM partner, but I wouldn't say it's close. Maybe it's more than 50, but I would say it's closer to 60 than 90. Would you agree with that assessment?
That's interesting. I haven't heard that stat, but I know that, you know, I've always worked for Microsoft, so I'm kind of always in that world that Microsoft's the best. But I have heard people say that Salesforce tends to kind of push the idea that it's so easy, you can just press a button, set it up yourself. Give us your credit card, sign up, boom, you've got a CRM system. Whereas I think on the Microsoft side, the message really is more of, these are the right tools, but you should work with a partner to really help you to configure them, to use them the right way. If you want them to be customized to your company, if you want to have the right training, the right user adoption. You know, I've read stats that say upwards over 70% of all CRM implementations fail. And a lot of times that is because companies think that if I have this product, it will make me a good, it'll work for me. It'll make me a good salesperson, a good sales team, right? So part of it is having a partner that also helps you with your process. Do you have a sales process that's consistent, that can be automated, that can be put in a system? Because otherwise your Salesforce or any CRM is just going to end up being a shelfware, they used to call it, but a giant paperweight, right? So it's not going to give you the value that you want. So there's more there than just the technology. And I think Microsoft does a good job of giving that message that the partner relationship really is important for the setup, for the training, for the support. And that'll really help the user adoption, which will then help the whole project be more successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I think we talk about internally, like, by the way, for our listeners, DealHub is an ISV, so we work with partners, and we work with also with the 10% of Microsoft users that come directly to us. And we actually have an alliance partner. So we really are expanding our relationship with Microsoft because we just see the value. Another one that you mentioned, not needing marketing, one of someone that will soon be on the podcast is ClickDimension. So they're like marketing software that's not Microsoft 365 for marketing. So that's also like really interesting. But we were discussing internally that the digital transformation, sometimes we see that language a little bit more often with Microsoft, and that kind of it goes to exactly what you're talking about. Like if once someone's getting their CRM for the first time, that's almost already a transformation, because that means that you're taking something either that was in Excel or in paper and making it more digitized, which is a transformation, because it's not just about the tech, it's about the processes and the people. Something that is harder to talk about because you can't every person's different, but that's, I would say, the three pieces to digital transformation. And that's what we were discussing before, like activate digital selling, like that's Microsoft's language. That doesn't mean that it's the first time you're selling. Zoom is a digital, but that doesn't mean that that's what Microsoft is saying. It's saying, how can you be more streamlined online? How can you make sure your workflows are working where you don't just have to call people to figure out who gives the approval if someone's sick? It's already automatic. And that's kind of like that activating digital sales the way it should be. Like the internet works quick, so should your sales process if it can, if there is technology. But again, you need processes to have the approval workflow. You can't just, technology doesn't choose who gets the approval or not. Not yet, at least, maybe one day. Yeah. You're like, Anya, she's great. Well, we'll get her to approve everything. She's the quickest approver. So super interesting. Before moving on to growing the community, because I think it's a really interesting topic just to talk about that. Can you elaborate a bit more on the Power Platform? If our users aren't familiar with the Microsoft community, I think they might not know what that is.
So I'll preface this by saying I am not a very technical person. All that I know, I've read from, known from reading other people's blog posts and working with different companies. But the Power Platform, as I understand, is a set of technology tools that makes it very easy for even non-technical people to kind of build their own apps, build their own reports, business intelligence, things like that. So, you know, specifically what I was saying before is that there are companies that have kind of built a mini Dynamics 365 CRM just using this Power Platform. And so you and I, Barry, wouldn't necessarily know what it's, the differences or what it's built in, but that it's that underlying foundation. And there's a lot of different things within Power Platform that are all just kind of along that automation, streamlining, you know, things that you can build within your systems that are going to make your life easier. And the cost of Power Platform, as I understand it, is quite low. And of course, some of it needs to be done by developers, but others, I believe, can be done by kind of power users, that they can be building their own reports and pulling information from different places, different systems even, to see the data that they want to see. Mm-hmm. There are tools like virtual agents, you know, chatbot kind of things that you can add to your systems. And I think it's like a fun toolbox that's just going to open up this big world of things that you can do within your Microsoft kind of bigger system.
Yeah, absolutely. Anya's way too humble on this podcast, but Anya knows a lot about everything Microsoft. So thank you for that. One of our customers, I think some people use the terminology like low code. So it's not no code, but it's mm-hmm. like low code, because they help you. Even if you're a developer, it's still quicker to kind of do the coding, if you will. And one of our customers built a partner relationship management system actually with mm-hmm. Power Platform. So I started like learning a little bit more about it. Super interesting. I love the low code movement because it allows people to innovate and be customized for themselves much quicker than the all code movement. And I think it's great. Really cool. Thank you for that, Anya, for giving that preface. So before we didn't talk about this before, but I'm curious, are there any blog posts? Again, a lot of what Anya does for our listeners is that she manages this amazing, very large, one of the most famous, if you will, blog community of partners and readers. And are there any blog posts that in the past 10 years or that you remember that like went viral or anything that, or any trends, like topics that you think people like to read more about or that people are really curious about? It could be 10 years, 5 years, the past 2 years, yeah, the past 10 days, whatever you want.
You know, it surprises me. One, that we still get a ton of traffic even on old keywords. Like we were talking about all these name changes, right? And so Navision hasn't actually been a product name for a very long time in the Microsoft world, yet we still see that keyword as being very, very popular, which I think is interesting. I also think it's kind of funny that some of the most popular posts that we get are ones that include the word scandal or failure. So any kind of, you know, ERP system failures. I remember I wrote one a while back about kind of a famous ERP failure at Hershey's, and that still gets a ton of traffic. There are a few posts on our blog that are like the outliers, that they just get thousands and thousands of hits. There's one right now about the customer buyer journey from a company called Enfluence on the CRM software blog, and it just gets amazing clicks and views on that particular topic. So they did a great job with that. I think also anything that has to do with comparisons, that versus, compare, comparison, blog posts with that in the title do very, very well. So people love to compare maybe Microsoft Dynamics 365 with Salesforce, for example. That's extremely popular. Sometimes those are the ones that generate the most energetic comments as well, because there are definitely people that agree or disagree with the author. I would also say that anything to do with pricing gets nice traffic, because Microsoft, I think, makes their pricing pretty transparent on their website nowadays, which is nice. But it's typically hard to find out what are the really hard costs. What is this actually going to cost me for implementation, for training? On some of the financial pieces like Microsoft Dynamics GP, the price list wasn't always as commonly shown. And so anyone that could actually say, you know what, if you're this type of a company, a small manufacturer that needs this, 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 and this, this is actually what you might expect to pay, these dollar amounts, not just a broad range. Because, you know, I think readers out there, they want to be able to see, am I even in the right ballpark when I'm looking at these solutions? Is this a $10 million solution, a $10,000 solution? That's going to help me know who to talk to. So, you know, one thing that we have on our blog sites that have been very popular throughout the years is something called a quick quote tool, where we ask someone to fill in a few questions about their industry and number of users and things like that. And then the system automatically generates a PDF with the licensing costs, which again is pretty easy to find other places, but it also gives a estimated implementation cost, just so that people can see, am I in the right ballpark or not? And of course, implementation costs vary, especially on the CRM side, I'd say they vary hugely, but at least it gives a guide for that person to know.
Yeah, no, that's super informative and really interesting. Thank you. So as promised, let's talk about the community. You created it in 2009 without really knowing what a blog was. Mm-hmm. Tell me about, just giving you some stories over the years, because it's 2022 and it's obviously a reputable blog. And I would love to hear just some stories that were really interesting about growth, about failures. Since we're talking about failures, the versus the other blogs, if you want, pricing, whatever you want. I would love to hear some stories.
So, you know, when my business partner and I started out, I mentioned earlier, he said, if you knew other partners that all wanted to contribute content and links, that could be powerful. And I thought, well, I've been in the channel a long time. I know a lot of partners. And so we started with 10 pretty visionary, I'd say, Microsoft Dynamics GP partners in the very beginning, because this was such a new idea. There really wasn't any other group blog out there, definitely not in our industry. And, you know, at the time, we didn't even really find others to model it after. So we started with just these 10 companies. And what's nice is most of them, I think about 8 of them are still members of the blog today. So all these years later. And we set it up in the beginning so that partners could represent one per state. And I remember thinking, man, if we ever got one per state, 50 members, can you imagine? That would be huge. And then we now up to, you know, 150 companies, and some of them have multiple memberships. So it's really grown much bigger than I ever would have imagined. For the longest time, my business partner and I, we both kind of did this on the side, so to speak. We had our real jobs, and this was our moonlighting thing. And actually in the last year, I kind of transitioned to just doing the blogs full time. Because it does take a lot of work to always stay on top of all the member questions, give people tips on how to blog better. Of course, you know, sign up new members and things like that. So there are a few other group blogs out there now, which, you know, in the beginning, it was like, oh, this is our idea. But of course, if something's successful, you know, there are a few more out there now. But what I will say is that because we started so early, it's like we got grandfathered in somehow with Google. So our traffic and our rankings are just, you know, out of the park in terms of what a new site can do now. So the ERP software blog, that's our biggest one. Well, it gets about 50, 60,000 visitors a month, and continues to grow. And, you know, new sites that start now, it's just very, very hard. Google limits that traffic. They've kind of caught on to the concept maybe, and the domain authority and things like that. So I'm extremely happy that the blog has, you know, has that track record, that longevity in there. And for me, it was just really important to help partners to see the value of using the power of the group. I say that a lot. We have to use the power of the group. When we all contribute, we're helping each other. Because I think in every channel probably, but in our Microsoft channel as well, there's a lot of competition, right? And people don't want to tell my secrets. I don't want to put my secret sauce out online because someone's going to copy it, take my customers. And especially in the you know, years past, I think partners were more locally focused. If you were in Chicago, you worked with businesses in Chicago. But nowadays, you work with businesses everywhere. So in a way, everyone's your competitor for those same prospects. So I think helping partners to see that if we all can help each other, it's going to make a better community. It's going to make a better blog site. It's going to raise the rankings for everybody, which helps them and it helps you. And you just need to find your way to stand out through your messaging and things like that. But it's really that idea of a high tide rises all ship kind of idea. So we've done things like group white paper projects. We're running right now a group webinar projects with Microsoft Dynamics World, which is another great site in our industry. And just the relationships that I built with the companies has been so much fun to be able to go to events, to see people I know, to talk with them, and to really help them make the most of their content marketing. So it's a great community. We have a members only LinkedIn group where people can kind of connect. And I recently even started, just again on the side, I started something called the Channel Marketing Academy, which is for marketing people like me that want someone to talk to, bounce ideas off of. So we do these monthly group chats. So I'm a big proponent of the use the power of the group mentality, and run several different groups in different areas to kind of connect people.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm also a big fan of the power of the community. So Love that. That's one of the reasons we have this podcast is to gather people that are interested in different and similar topics. So I love that. Well, Anya, I wanted to thank you for your time. This was a really informative and really interesting podcast. I know our listeners also will think that. And for all of our listeners out there, if you're interested in joining as a guest to our podcast, please reach out via LinkedIn or email. And thanks again, Anya.
Wonderful. Thank you, Barry.